I'd like to read something to you this morning from all over the Bible, but maybe we could start with chapter 14 or chapter 8 in Romans, the book of Romans. And I was reminded of something when at the beach last night, Brother Isaac was he said a lot of good things, but one of the things that he said was sometimes we want Jesus. Or we really don't want Jesus. We want something that we can get from him. We don't like our sin. We don't like the way we are. We want something to change. So we ask him and we seek him for that thing to go away because we don't like it. But we really don't want Jesus as Lord. We want him as Savior and Deliverer, but we don't want to take him as our Lord. And the name that he goes by in the Bible, a lot of different names, but he's Jesus Christ the Lord. And he's the King. And he reigns. And As I thought of that, I thought of this verse. And it has to do, we've been talking, if you haven't been here, we've been talking about walking every morning. There's some venture that he takes us on, and some journey. And day by day, we're following him. And we're walking in the light of his word. And on and on, as we've been mentioning. And in the 8th chapter, the 14th verse, it says, let's see, it says it somewhere in here. I think, there it is. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds, or the put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There are other corollary passages that talk about being led by the Spirit of God. Those who are day by day following him. I know I'm right. He watches over me day and night. To follow his will, to follow his path that he has for our lives. Now, that's a one-day-at-a-time venture. And before you know it, you'll finish a year if you go one day at a time. And then you'll finish a decade, and before long, you might finish a lifetime. But it's following him one day at a time. And Jesus taught us that. He didn't just say it in those many words, but the prayer that he taught us to pray was, "Give us this day our daily bread." Of course, that was shown when they gathered the manna. They went out every day to get new manna, fresh manna, today's manna, not for tomorrow because it won't last. I got to have a fresh supply. I need something fresh, new, every day. And he leads and directs me day by day. And I'm thankful that he wants to do that for all of us. And I know that's the desire. Probably of everyone here, and particularly those that are younger. Somebody prayed in the prayer meeting yesterday in the afternoon. There are some young people that are looking for what the Lord has next for them. They're at a crossroads making decisions, and they want to make the right decision. They want to choose the path that he wants them to go on. There's a little poem that I don't know who wrote it. "He may not lead me year by year or even day by day, but step by step my path unfolds." And we need to learn to, and again, something we heard last night, we need to learn to do the will of God as delineated in the Bible, and then the rest will fall into place. What do I mean by that? Well, last night we heard, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Well, I don't want to know the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me as far as rejoicing and praying and giving thanks. I want to know the will of God as far as where I'm going to live, what school I'm going to go to, and who I'm going to marry when I'm 12 or 19 or 72. That's all I want to know. That's all I want to know, the will of God. I don't want to know this other stuff. The other stuff is too spiritual. And I want to live life where the rubber hits the road, and I want to know what's practical. That's what I want. Well, God wants you to know where the rubber hits the road, and he wants you to know what's practical. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Does the Spirit of God lead? You know, Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, first verse, is it? Abraham heard the call of God. He was living in Ur of the Chaldees, and he heard the call of God. And you can say, and whatever way you want to put it, could have been by the Spirit of the Lord. God spoke to Abraham. And God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to get up and I want you to leave where you are and I want you to follow me to a place and I don't know where you're going and you don't know where you're going, but I want you to follow me today. Today. But Lord, I want to know the end game. I don't want to know today. I want to know what's tomorrow. I want to know where my life is going to wind up. And then I'll tell you whether I want to go today. It all depends on where you're taking me. I am not going there. I'm not going there. So if that's the direction we're going, I'm not. You can see, Lord, you can go. I'm going to stay here. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. This is what I want. This is my plan. This is my agenda. Bless it, Lord. No, no, no. Abraham was smart enough to when God told him to get up and move, and he didn't move until God told him to get up and move. Get away from your kindred, your people. Get away from your country. Get away and go to a place that I'll show you someday. That you'll get to, but start today. And he had to leave. Could you imagine his wife when he went home to tell her? Honey, we're moving. Where are you moving to? Well, I don't know, but we're going. And he went out, not knowing whither he went, but he knew that he was being led by God. You know, that's a big deal. You may not know where you're heading and where your life is going to wind up and what's going to be 4 years from now. But if you follow the path that God has for you today, and he does lead you, he wants to lead you today. Oh, Lord, help me to hear your voice and to follow your call, to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, in the Bible, we have a number of different words that God speaks, such as the Great Commission. Does anybody know what the Great Commission is? Okay. Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Now, is that Great Commission? That's Matthew 28, right? Verses 19 and 20. And lo, I'm with you all, even unto the end of the age. Now, when that Great Commission was given, and it was given to the disciples, and they were told to do that, is that Great Commission still, like, in effect? Is that over, done with? It finished when the book of Matthew finished or something? No, we're still supposed to do that, are we not? Are you supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? You haven't done that, though, have you? I mean, I haven't gone into all the world and preached the gospel to every creature. There are too many creatures to preach the gospel to. And did you know that it's not God's will for you to preach the gospel to every creature? Oh, but it says in Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, I would like to preach the gospel to the creatures that are on the beach in Mexico. I would like to preach the gospel in sunny Southern California, where they don't know what humidity means. That's where I'd want to preach the gospel. I don't want to go to the villages in Africa. I'm not interested in that. So, well, you know, God has within the will of God and the plan of God a will for your life. It's different from my life. And we can find the general principles in the Bible of going to all the world, but where do I go? Where does he want me to go? Does he want me to go to China? Does he want me to go to India or Africa? Or does he want me to stay in New York City? Does he want me to witness to this one on my job or that one on my job? Or am I supposed to sit them all down on a lunch hour and preach to them all and get fired the next day or whatever? Lord, what do you have a call for me? Do you want to lead me? And I believe that he does. The people that I'm to reach are not the same that Natasha's to reach. I don't know her friends. I don't know where she's gone every day and where she goes and what she does. But God has people in your venue, and he wants you to reach them with the gospel. He wants you to be the, well, Paul says, we are ambassadors. We represent the kingdom of God. We're ambassadors for Christ. And God wants to lead you, and he wants to direct you. Some of you may wind up on a foreign mission field someday. I don't know. And I don't want you to go, and God doesn't want you to go on a foreign mission field someday because you have a desire to be a missionary. He may not want you there. Lord, what is your will for my life? He may want you right where you are. And I don't want to stay. I want to be a gung-ho Christian. I want to really bring the gospel to the lost each day. Well, there are lost people right where you are. Lord, what do you want me to do? As many as are led by your Spirit, help me to be led today, tomorrow, in my life, day by day, step by step. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There was a missionary who some of you would remember. She's gone to be with the Lord long ago now. Her name was Sister Kanak. And some of you might remember Sister Kanak. And she was a missionary. And then she was retired or somewhat retired, and she was living in New York City. And she felt the call of God to the field, to the mission field. God was leading her. Wasn't leading everybody in the Ridgewood Church, but was leading her. But she didn't know where God wanted her to go and what God wanted her to do and where it would be. Where do you want me to go? And one day she was looking to the Lord and just praying by the Spirit of God. Not only the Spirit of God could do this, but as she was praying, a name popped into her head. Do you know what that name was? Anybody remember? No, it's no person's name. It was the name of a place. Yeah. The Lord spoke to her, and the Lord said, "Oviedo." Ova, who, what? Oviedo. And the Lord impressed upon her heart that she was to go to Oviedo. You know her next question was? Where in the world is Oviedo? She got an atlas or whatever, and she looked up Oviedo, and she found that Oviedo was this little town in Spain. Nice. Yeah, I agree with you. She was better there than could have been, but yeah. Oviedo. Now, did the Spirit of God lead her, or was that just she had pickles and ice cream the night before, and that's what the result was? God led her. She desired to follow him. She wanted to know what he wanted her to do. I don't care how old I am. I don't care how retired I've been. God has placed upon my heart, he wants me. This is what his call for my life is. But I don't know where. Where is it, Lord? Oviedo. Okay, Oviedo. Well, the next thing we knew, she was on an airplane going to Oviedo. And it happened to be a community where there were parks, and she would witness, and she was a personal witness. And many were led to the Lord and were touched and witnessed to by Sister Kanak in her older years of life. Why? Because led by the Spirit of God. Now, if you have your Bibles, just turn with me, if you would, to the 16th chapter of Acts. And just a couple of places before we close this morning. Acts chapter 16. And this is the Apostle Paul. And as you know, the Apostle Paul was going all over the place, here and there, and he was preaching and ministering, and churches were established, and people were getting saved. And in the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 3, Paul wanted to take him along on the journey to the circumcised because of the Jews. As they traveled from town to town, verse 4, they delivered the decisions that were reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now, some of you should be highly offended that they didn't want to take the gospel. The Lord didn't let them go to Asia. But that's interesting, or isn't it interesting? Paul, you know, you're called to be an ambassador, to spread the gospel, and everybody needs the Lord. Everybody needs Jesus. Well, he went through Phrygia and Galatia, and the Apostle Paul's desire, and you have desires, and so do I. He wanted to go to Asia. There are plenty of people in Asia. Are there still plenty of people in Asia? Still plenty of people in Asia, lots of people. Are there anybody in Asia that still doesn't know the Lord? Yeah, there are people in Asia that still don't know the Lord. Do they need the gospel? Sure. And Paul knew that they needed the gospel in Asia, and he wanted to go. He wanted to go to bring the gospel to Asia. But it says here, the Spirit of God said, hold your horses. Well, the Spirit of God didn't say, hold your horses. The Spirit of God said, no. No, you're not going to Asia. As many as are led. But the Great Commission says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. No, not everybody goes into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. I have a specific call for your life. And it's not the one for her or for him. It's your call for your life. You may be called upon to reach 2 people, 6 people, a half dozen people, 1 million people. But be faithful to the trust that God entrusts to you. To do your will, that's all. To follow on where thou dost lead, to do thy will is all I need. We pray or sing in a song. Not my will. Jesus, I belong to you. All my plans, all my wishes, all my ambitions at my feet in ashes lay. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. And you know, the Apostle Paul was a godly man. He was a good man. And he had good aspirations and desires, but he was a man who was led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God didn't allow him to preach the gospel in Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Paul, what in the world? You're going all the places you shouldn't go. You want to preach the gospel to Bithynia? You want to go to Asia? And I don't want you to go to Bithynia or Asia. Again, Paul wasn't sinning per se against God, but God has a will, a plan for your life. And he wants to achieve that plan. But you need to be led by the Spirit of God, not by your own will, not by your own desire. I see nothing wrong with going to Bithynia. I see nothing wrong with preaching the gospel in Asia. I see nothing wrong, and there is nothing wrong, but it's just not for you. I want to lead you and direct you. I have a plan, a wonderful Jeremiah 29, your life verse, half of you probably. I have a wonderful plan for your life. I have thoughts over you to prosper you. I have good plans for you. They may entail suffering. They may entail enduring hardship. They may be a pleasant experience, all the days of your life. But I have a plan, and I want you to follow that plan. I want you to be led by the Spirit of God. So they passed by Mysia, and they went down to Troas, and during the night, Paul had a vision. Some man from Macedonia standing there begging him, come over here. And Paul had seen in the vision, he got ready at once to leave to Macedonia, concluding that God had called him to preach the gospel to them. Oh, now I understand. You don't want me to go to Mysia, Bithynia. You don't want me to go to Asia. But there, Lord, you're calling me. You're not calling everybody, but you're calling me. I see that you're drawing and calling me. The Spirit of God is leading me to Macedonia. I got to get in a boat and cross some water and go over to a place that I've not been before, but I'm going to go there because I'm being led to go there, and I'm being led to go there by the Spirit of God. So he gets over into Philippi, and you know the story from there. He found some women that were worshiping at the waterfront there, and he joined himself, and then he reasoned with them out of the scriptures on the Sabbath day, and then there was an uproar because of casting the devil out of that woman, and then he wound up in jail with Silas, and then the jail cells opened up, and a church was established there in Philippi. How did that all happen? Because there was a man that wasn't in Asia when he should have been in Macedonia. And you know, that's a good thing. It's best for him to have his way. Would there have been a church established in Asia? Would God have used him and would souls have... I don't know. I don't know the answer to those questions. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But I do know that God had a call and a will and a plan for Paul's life, but he has one for your life. And he has one for my life. And he does not want it to be an enigma. You know what an enigma is? It's not a lot of guesswork. It's not hard. It's not a, you need to begin to do the will of God today. And so when you don't feel like rejoicing, do it anyway, because it's the will of God. And when you don't feel like giving thanks, do so anyway. And you might find out that you'll be led by the Spirit of God as you begin to do the will of God, and what you know to be the will of God, He'll unfold to you the will of God for your life. This is the way. There are words and verses in the Bible that say this: He'll lead you and guide you with His eye. He'll whisper a still small voice, and it'll say to you, this is the way. Oh, come on, let's all go. No, not everybody go that way. Peter and John, you remember they had it out? No, well, they didn't have it out. They were close friends. And I could really understand altogether why it was that Peter would want to go with John and John would want to go with Peter. They were inseparable. Not only after they became disciples, but before they became disciples of Jesus. They worked together. They knew one another. They grew up. They were good friends. And then when Jesus called them, they seemed to be the two. You go untie the donkey. You two, Peter and John, you go do this. You prepare the upper room. Peter and John, you. Peter and John, Peter and John, Peter and John. They're always together. And then the Lord had a call over Peter's life, and John says, well, what about me? Am I going to go too? And I go that way. Well, no. Jesus said, what is that to thee? You follow me. Let him follow me, and you follow me. And maybe the way that I lead John is not the same way that I lead Mr. Peter, but I want both of you to go and follow me. Well, their lives took very divergent courses, but God led them step by step. All the way my Savior leads me. If you go to the 8th chapter of Acts, and you can or you don't have to, I'm just going to refer to a couple of verses there. There's a man named Philip. He was down in Samaria. It's about 28th verse or so, 28, 29, 30 in that section. Philip is down in Samaria, and he's having a revival. They send other apostles from Jerusalem to help out with the revival. God's pouring out His Spirit. They're laying hands on people. They're being filled with the Spirit of God. That's a wonderful place to be. Thank God He led me there, right into the middle of a revival. And then the next thing you know, the Spirit of God, it says, the Spirit of God leads Philip into the desert. That must be the devil. The Spirit of God won't lead me to a desert, to a no man's land. I'm in the middle of a revival. I'm the spoon that stirs the revival. I keep the thing going. I'm, you know, Philip, I'm the big shot here. This revival needs me here in Samaria. The Spirit of the Lord leads Philip into the desert. Why? I don't know why. I mean, I do know why, because I read the whole story. But Philip doesn't know why. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't care if it makes sense to you or not. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. And I don't know why, and I don't know where I'm going, and I don't know who I'm going for, but I'm going. Why are you going, Philip? Because God led me by His Spirit. He didn't lead everybody from Samaria to go down where He's taking me, but He led me. Well, what was the result of that story? The Spirit of God led him not only to this desert area, but He led him to a man that was sitting in a chariot. I mean, does God care about individuals? God may not lead you to the masses of people in Macedonia to establish churches. He might, but He might not. God's Spirit might lead you to the backside of a desert, some back lane in China or India or Africa, or maybe some little road down the streets of New York City. God wants to lead you to somebody who He knows is hungry, who knows he's thirsty, who knows he's wanting to find the way, but he doesn't know the way. And as Philip came near to that chariot, the guy was reading out loud. Anybody read out loud? I know we established the other day that you all talk to yourselves. But do we ever read? Well, I don't know if I read out loud. But this man was, and he was reading the scriptures from Ethiopia. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. He was reading about he was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And the Spirit of God leads Philip to that man in that chariot. And he says to the man, do you know what you're reading about? I mean, how easy is that? How easy? What an open door that is. You know, it's unfortunate sometimes the way some of God's people force themselves through doors. They feel it's their call in life to be obnoxious and to drive the gospel down everybody's throat that doesn't want to hear it. God will open the door. God will soften the heart. God will prepare the way. And God will lead you and God will guide you. And they may not want the gospel and they may resist. That's up to God. Here was a man that was prepared, wide open. He's wide open, but I need somebody who's going to be willing to go. And nobody wants to go. Nobody wants to do this. Everybody wants to go to Samaria. Everybody wants to get here or go there. Or, that's where the revival, that's where. I'm going there. I'm packing up tomorrow and I'm going there because God's there. Well, maybe God doesn't want you there. Well, what do you mean in the middle of the revival? God wants me in the middle of the revival. That's why I'm here on earth, to be in the middle of the revival. No, you're not here on earth to be in the middle of the revival, only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day, just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what his word commands. Baloney for half God's people. We're not interested in doing what he commands and where he wants me to go and what he wants me to do. I want to do what I want to do, and I know what I want to do, and I know where I want to do it, and I know how I want to do it. God bless me. Here I go. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I'm not going there. I'm certainly not going there because that's a dark city. Dark city. Does God need light in a dark city? Did God need light over in Macedonia? Did God need light in Athens with a city wholly given to idolatry? I'm not going there. I'm going to Samaria. I'm going to Jerusalem. Revival. I want a revival. Revive us. God wants to use you, maybe for an individual sitting somewhere in the backside of a desert who's reading the gospel and has no clue as to what they're reading. And how thankful we can be that God has people. And maybe God had to get Philip away from Samaria because maybe he was the only ear that could hear what the Spirit says. If anybody has an ear, let him hear. And then the other part of it is you not only have an ear to hear, but you need a heart to respond. Who will, Isaiah 6, who will go for us? Who's going to go? Who can I send? And Isaiah said, well, here I am, send me. But Isaiah, you know, you don't know what you're going into and where you're going. No, he didn't. He had no clue. He didn't know he was going to be put in a log and sawn asunder one day. I mean, I don't know what he would have done if he knew that ahead of time. Probably still would have gone. At least I hope he would have. But Lord, day by day, your will be done. After Philip finished with that man and baptized him in water, the Bible says the Spirit of God, he wound up in Azotus or something like that. He was gone. He did what I wanted him to do that day. Tomorrow he'll be somewhere else doing what the Spirit of God has led him to do. And as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Think with me about Peter in Acts chapter 10. Big long story, whole chapter, Acts 10. Peter sitting up on his roof in prayer, and the Lord speaks to him. The Spirit of God spoke to him, said, I want you to go with these men that are coming down your road and about ready to knock on your door. And I want you to go with them. I want you to go to the leader of the Italian band. I want you to go to Cornelius' house. Cornelius is a man who fears God. He's a devout man, but he doesn't really know the way. And you can help him, Peter. And Peter was, again, if you look at the words in the chapter, led by the Spirit of God to go with him. And so he went down, did Peter. And you know the rest of the story, how Cornelius, his household, they were baptized. And how God then continued to lead by his Spirit, the Apostle Peter, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Are you, me, am I led by the Spirit of God? That's the question, not whether these men were. They were. And it's clearly delineated for us in the Scriptures how they were led by the Spirit of God, to go or not to go. And it wasn't just by their whim. You find it in Acts 13 also. People didn't go because they felt like it. They only went in the Bible. They only went because God sent them. Separate. While they were praying, I want you to separate these two guys. I want you to separate them and pray for them and send them on this way, the Holy Spirit said. God sent people out. God gave people missions. God gave people direction in their lives. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. And it's that way in every area, not just who am I going to witness to and who am I going to preach to and who am I going to... Lord, you have that for every part of my life. You know, this works when it comes to what school should I go to? What vocation? Am I going to have a job or should I remain unemployed all my life? Well, the Lord probably has a will for you and a plan for you, and it probably includes work. But where? Is everything the same? Should I, as long as I'm doing something? Well, that's better than doing nothing, but I think God has a plan specific for you. Not everybody's called to be a rocket scientist. That's good, because a lot of us couldn't be rocket scientists. And did you know that not everybody's called to be a preacher? Oh no, that's like way up there. No, it's not. It's just the call that God has over my life. I'm not an elitist or way up here and you're way down here because you're laity and I'm clergy. Why, we all have a call of God over our lives. And it might include a bank in your case. It might include a hammer and some nails and tools in your case. But that call of God over your life is no different than the call of God over my life. And God wants to lead us. What wilt thou have me to do? Lord, who should I, if I should ever get married? Is it just, you know, anybody? As long as there's a guy out there and you're a girl. Let's make sure we keep that straight. As long as there's a guy out there and, you know, that's good enough. Then, you know, that's all. There are a lot of fish swimming in the pond, and as long as I catch one of them, I couldn't care less. God has someone for you. And it's not every Tom, Dick, and Harry. God has a specific will and plan and call over your life. Well, he's not interested in that. So he knows how many hairs you have or don't on your head. He knows when one sparrow falls to the ground. He knows your life, and he knows the desires of your heart, and he wants to lead you day by day. But when that becomes the preeminent desire in our lives, for God to show us this specific thing, that we want to know what school, we want to know where to, we put the cart before the horse. We're trying to get something from God, and he's not interested in just giving us answers to our whims and our desires. So I don't know where it was. I hope it wasn't here. I don't think it was. I don't know where. I told this story about a lady, middle-aged lady. Maybe it was back home. But anyway, told this little lady, older woman, middle-aged. She was on a cruise. Did you ever treat yourself to a cruise? I haven't. I've never been on one. Maybe someday, maybe not, but many of you have been on cruises, and she treated herself. She was at that stage in life, and she thought, well, I deserve this, and nobody else is going to give me one, so I might as well give me my cruise. So she was there, and a few days into the cruise, she was there by herself, and she happened to notice this middle-aged gentleman that was also on the cruise. And he seemed to always standing, looking out over the water or sitting by himself on the deck or sitting by himself in the meals. And she began to notice him as being all by himself. And she was also there all by herself. So one day she got the nerve to go over to him and she said to him, "Hey, you look like my third husband." And he said, "Third husband? How many husbands have you had?" And she said, "Two." Well, that's probably not the way that God will lead you or direct your path. But God does have a plan. Turn with me. We've got to finish soon. I'm just getting into my text. That's always bad news. But 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. We can start with, well, there was a Benjamite, a man of standing whose name was Kish, and he had a son, and that son's name was Saul. Verse 3 says that there were some donkeys that were belonging to Saul's father, and they were lost. And Kish said to his son, Saul, take some of the servants and go look for my donkeys. Now, you know, to you and to me, that doesn't sound like much. But this was a big deal when the donkeys got lost. That translated to money. It translated maybe to their work and employing of people and keeping the business going and flowing. And these donkeys got lost. And so Saul is tasked with going to find them. And that's really what he's interested in. I want to find the donkeys. That's my life now consists of. And so I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but he goes on. Saul goes and he starts looking around. And he's going from town to town. This is occupying Saul. I got to find the donkeys. I got to find the donkeys. I got to find a wife. I got to find a husband. I got to find whatever it is that I'm looking for. I got to find. And this is the preoccupation of my life, to find what I'm looking for. God, help me to find what I'm looking for. And he's not finding this. And it's now, is it 3 days or several days? And he's not finding what he's looking for. And so he decides, well, it's time for us to go home, because pretty soon Dad's going to be looking for me and wondering where I am, because I haven't shown up. And all I'm looking for is these donkeys, and I'm not finding them. And so he says to his servant, let's go back home. We're not having much luck here and success. And the servant says, well, you know, there is a man of God. Now, this man of God happened to be Samuel. He happened to have the word of God in his mouth. And he was, for us, we could easily say, he was a representation before the people of actually God. It's he that they went to when they wanted to hear from God. It's he that God spoke to. And there was a reason for that. And you remember the story way back in the book of Samuel as to how Samuel developed an ear to hear and a heart to respond. Samuel was led by the Spirit of God. And so this servant says, well, there's a guy, Samuel, and he's coming to this town. And maybe we should ask him where our donkeys are. I'm sure he'd be interested, because that's, of course, our preoccupation, and we're going to make it his. So we're going to go before Samuel, and we're going to plead our case. Samuel, we need donkeys. We need this. We need this. We want this. We want this. We need this. And I'm sure Samuel's going to tell us where the donkeys are. And that's all we really want from Samuel. We don't really want God. We just want to know where the donkeys are. We want to know where our livelihood's coming from. We want our next big success step in our lives. And we want God to be part of that. And so let's ask him and let's find out from him. And they do just that. They go and Samuel is spoken to, led by the Spirit of God. And Samuel says, the guy that you see that's going to come to you, he's the one that I want you to anoint to be the king of Israel. Well, Saul didn't know anything about this. Samuel knew this. And now Saul comes. Now, what's Saul interested in? He's interested in one thing. My donkeys. Where are my donkeys? And Samuel, inasmuch, if you read the whole chapter, says, would you forget about your donkeys? We'll take care of them. They'll be found. 3 days, you get. Forget about your donkeys. That's not the most important thing in your life. Easy for you to say. They're my donkeys. And I got to know where they are. And I got this and that. And you can fill in the blanks. It's not just donkeys. But I need to know this. This is what I need to know from God. This is what I've come to God for. I've been looking for donkeys for I don't know how many days. And I got to find my donkeys. God, help me to find my donkeys. And every prayer that you pray has to do with your donkeys. Every prayer that you pray and every thought in your head is, Lord, it has to do with me, my career, my this. Lord, it's all about me. It's all about my. It's all about, and God says, would you please hold your horses? I'm not interested in that. And you know what? You know what Samuel does? He says, what I want to do, Saul, with you, I want to sit down with you, and I want to have a feast. I want to have some time together with you. I want you to just sit and talk with me, and you with me, and me with you, and I just want to have some conversation, and I want to have some fellowship with you. Forget about your donkeys. Don't ask me about them. Sierra La Boca donkeys. I don't want to hear it. I just want you. I want to have a little time with you. I want you to commune with me, and I want to commune with you, and I want to have fellowship with you, and let's have some, well, a meal is what you usually consider fellowship around, that meal. That's why I want you, Saul, to be with me. And so I can't go can't go far from Genesis chapter. Why did God create people? Why did God create Adam and Eve? Because he couldn't have fellowship with the hippopotamus. It wasn't working out too well that he was talking to tortoises or whatever. God made man the sixth day. Why? He made man for a specific purpose. He made you for a specific purpose. Has nothing to do with your donkeys, per se. He created you for fellowship. He created Adam and Eve for fellowship with him. That's why he made them, to commune with them. I want to make them after my image and my likeness. And I create them, Revelation says, for my pleasure. I really like it when I have a human being that I can have fellowship with, that don't continually just want donkeys and aren't continually asking me about this and this thing and that thing, that actually want me. They actually want fellowship with me. They actually are willing to forego the donkeys and anything and everything else so that they can know me and have me. And we heard last night at the beach, it's all about Jesus. It's not about what Jesus can give me or what I can get out of him or how he can bless me or how. It's all about having him and wanting him. Not just getting rid of what I don't want and not just getting what I do want, but it's about having him. Let the other stuff go by. Let goods and kindreds go, Martin Luther wrote. This mortal life also, the body they may kill. All I want, give me Jesus. And how many times do we sing it in our church services? Take the world, but give me Jesus, because all its joys are just but a name. But his love abideth ever. Just give me Jesus. I want to know him. And Adam and Eve were created for that purpose. And although Saul wanted, he wanted donkeys, Samuel said, no, I want you, Saul. I want to talk to you. I want to commune with you. And I want to disclose to you. Forget, I got something so far beyond donkeys. I want you to be the king. How about that? Would you forget your donkeys if I told you I want to anoint you to be the king? Oh, that's not bad. No, it's not. So forget about yourself. And forget about this, that, and seek first the kingdom of God. And seek first his righteousness, and all the donkeys will be added unto you. You won't have to take thought for your life when you eat, drink, or put on. All those things. Follow the words carefully of Jesus. Who seeks after those things? Who seeks after the donkeys? All those things do the Gentiles seek. You say, well, that's me. I'm a Gentile. No, you're not. You know what another translation for that word Gentile? You know what that means? All those things the heathen seek. Those that don't have fellowship with God, those that don't have a heavenly Father, well, they better provide and they better watch out for and take care and lead and guide and direct themselves, because they don't have anybody to lead or guide or direct them. But you do. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you even asked him. Don't you think he'll provide and take care of you, oh, you of little faith? So take no anxious thought for what you eat or drink or put on, because your heavenly Father's already got you covered. Just spend some time seeking his kingdom. Just spend some time in his presence. Do the will of God. Have fellowship. Walk with him. Walk before him. Walk after him. Oh, Lord, and you'll direct my path. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. And so it's not wrong, and I'm not suggesting that you should stop thinking about your life, but I am suggesting that maybe you need to focus the shift of your seeking. And instead of on the things, the donkeys. When Saul left Samuel, I don't think he was disappointed. And he got his donkeys. He got his donkeys. But he got a whole lot more because he spent time in fellowship and communion with Saul. And before they left that fellowship and communion, thou anointest my head with oil. And Samuel took the horn of oil and poured it all over Saul, and he became and was anointed by God, the King of Israel. Lord, your ways are best. And sometimes we don't know tomorrow. But Lord, we're going to follow you today. Sufficient unto tomorrow is the evil of tomorrow. But Lord, today. Lord, you called your disciples to take up their cross, and then you said, daily, die to myself and to my plans, to my will, and to what I know I need, and to do thy will, Lord. Just to let you shut the doors. You close doors that nobody opens. You open doors and then nobody shuts them. But Lord, to let you lead, to be one of those sheep that know your voice and that follow your call. Lord, we all want to be that. I know that. I know every young person and old person in this meeting. That's our desire. But Lord, maybe sometimes we've kind of gone about it the wrong way. And we've made our lives all about our donkeys. And they're important, but they're not as important as being led by your Spirit. And I pray, Jesus, that we will be more occupied with you than we are with ourselves or the things that we so think we desperately need. What we really need is you. We really need to take time to be holy. We need to sit down and have a little fellowship with you. Not just a run in, run out, and 5 minutes and done, but Lord, we need to have some fellowship with you. That's why we're made, and that's what you're looking for. So, Lord, we pray that in each of our lives, you will go before us and we will follow. And you will lead us in a plain path. And you will unfold step by step the will of God. Lord, some of us who are older can look back, and I can look back over my life and have no idea sometimes how I got where I got and why I'm doing what I'm doing, accepting that you led all the way. And you opened doors and you closed doors. And Lord, I wouldn't have done it this way. I wouldn't have figured out my own path this way. But Lord, I do believe it's best for you to have your way. And so every day, still, we need to pray, your will be done today. Your will be done today. Not my own, but Jesus, I belong to thee. Lead the young people that are here, Lord, that are looking for their donkeys, Lord, and they're wanting to know, and it's important, and they need to find them. But Lord Jesus, may the focus of their lives be fellowship. You have more in store for them. More in store than just found whatever it is. Lord, you have greater blessings untold. Lord, lead us, lead them by the Holy Spirit, we pray. So onward we go. No doubts, no fears. Happy with Christ, our Savior dear. Trusting that we someday will see face to face Jesus, our friend, who has led us all the way. Thank you for it. Amen. There's a person here, I think she is the oldest person on grounds. Now you can guess who that is, or maybe not. But I believe I'm right that her favorite song is number 4. Am I right, Sister Sarah? Number 4 in the white book. And let's sing it. And she's experienced this for many, many years. Number 4.
Like a shepherd, tender, true, Jesus leads, Jesus leads. Daily finds us pastures new, Jesus leads, Jesus leads. If thick mists are o'er the way, road Jesus leads, Jesus leads, till we reach yon blessed abode. Jesus leads, Jesus leads, all the way before he's trod, and he now the flock precedes, safe into the fold of God. Jesus leads, Jesus leads.
Shall we stand?
Through the moonlit ways of life, Jesus leads, Jesus leads, through the warrings and the stripes, Jesus leads, Jesus leads. When we reach the Jordan's tide, where life's boundary line recedes, he will spread the waves aside. Jesus leads, Jesus leads.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And help us, Lord, to follow where thou dost lead. Help us to practice today. Lord, have your way and your will in every one of our lives for Jesus' sake. We commit ourselves to you. We pray that we'll be kept in your presence. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
I saw you this morning.
Yeah, you guys are really chill.